Is good. This morning I'd like to I want to just say thank you. I did not mention earlier when I got up here, just to say we've had some reorganizing of the mics and things of that nature, and sometimes we don't always think about how folks come in when we may be out doing other things, and they come and do some things and put some things together for us to be able to improve in our service and things of that nature. So we are very, very thankful to God for people who work so hard to be able to do those things. They don't do it to get credit on their own. They just do it because they have a desire to serve God. And so we are very appreciative. And those of you, you know who you are, so we're very thankful for that. The grass and all that stuff gets taken care of and everything. And the AC is working. We come into a place where we can celebrate and worship God, and we're comfortable, and we're very thankful for that. So we certainly don't ever want to take those things for granted. Amen? Amen. All right, this morning, if you all would do me a favor, if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to the Gospel of Mark. That's where we're going back to. We took a slight break away from Mark's Gospel. We're going to be in chapter 3. Looking at verses 20 through 35 this morning. And many of you are quite familiar. If you've been reading through the Gospel of Mark on your own, you're pretty familiar with the fact that Mark's Gospel account is fast-paced. There may be some things you do not see in Mark that you would see in the other synoptic Gospels like Matthew and Luke. But they certainly all give a wonderful account of the life and ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 3, beginning with verse 20. When everyone is there, please say amen. Of course, we have the text up, the correct text this week. Amen. That's what we have up. So this is what it says. I'm reading from the English Standard Translation. It says, Then he went home. And the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him. For they were saying, he is out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebub. And by the prince of demons, he casts out demons. And he called them to him and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they were saying, he has an unclean spirit. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And the crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside, seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Gracious and eternal God, we come privileged to come before your merciful throne and to come together today to celebrate and to dig into your word. In fact, Lord, we ask that as we search the scriptures will certainly search our hearts. We ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you will lead us and guide us by your Spirit. My prayer is that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you, for you are our God, our strength and our Redeemer. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Setting the record straight. Setting the record straight. Many of you have already realized at the time that we've gone through the gospel account of Mark, we found that Jesus has always had issues with the opposition that he seems to attract throughout his ministry. We know that Jesus has certainly made it clear, especially in Mark's gospel account, that Jesus has come for the purpose of bringing forth the kingdom of Almighty God. This here, in this account which we're reading today, is no different. In fact, we have seen that Jesus has become quite popular, that crowds certainly come to demand his attention. It's beautiful how Mark begins these verses that we have read today by expressing the reality that those crowds continue to grow. They continue to press in. In fact, Mark reminds us that the crowds became so intense that even Jesus, as he had returned home, this being the place or headquarters where Jesus was staying, which many scholars and Bible teachers believe happens to be the home of Peter and Andrew, which Jesus had set up his headquarters to do ministry within Capernaum and throughout Galilee. In fact, they had pressed so hard that Jesus and his disciples didn't even have time or wasn't even able to eat. This is how pressing. In other words, his ministry had become so popular that Jesus almost couldn't even take care of himself. And the Bible tells us in Mark's account that even his own family became quite concerned. Now, when I'm reading this, I understand that Mary, of course, she understands the fact that Jesus is here on earth for a purpose. She gave birth to him. The message came to her as she was betrothed to Joseph. If you remember in the story of the early gospel accounts of the fact that she would bring forth a son and he would be special. He would be the one who would come and deliver his people. So there's no doubt in my mind that Mary understands the significance of Jesus' ministry here on earth. But John reminds us in his gospel account that his brothers didn't have that same mentality. In fact, his brothers didn't even believe that he was who he said he was. In fact, there were times in Jesus' ministry that his brothers had challenged him to say, "Why don't you prove it to us if you are the Christ, the Son of God?" That's what they were ultimately asking Jesus to do. But they became concerned, just as any family member would, if Jesus had gotten so caught up in his so-called ministry that all of a sudden he wasn't able to care for himself or his own well-being. And I believe that it became the driving force of why they all of a sudden came to a place where they would plan to go, and the Bible tells us to literally seize him, or the word means arrest him. To pretty much force him to come back home, to get him away from everyone else, to get him away from the crowd. In fact, they believed that he had been so driven by his ministry that he could only focus on his ministry that it literally caused him to lose his mind. But they just simply wanted to bring him home. My brothers and sisters, I'd like to share with you this morning a few things that I've seen within the text. Number one is the fact that his family misunderstood his ministry. Jesus was misunderstood by his own family. You see, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knew that he came to earth for a purpose, a plan, and that was to fulfill the will of his Heavenly Father, right? To do what he had called him to do, to share with all of the world and establish the kingdom of God on earth. That kingdom was to be established to overcome all darkness, sin, hatred, all of the things that would come against humanity and the kingdom of God itself. So Jesus was willing to walk away from home. Jesus was willing to do whatever he needed to do to accomplish the Father's will, for that's why he came to earth. But for some reason, his own family didn't fully understand it. But let me just share this with you, my brothers and sisters. When you are called to do what God has called you to do, listen, you don't always have to have the approval of humanity. In fact, mankind will not always approve of the ministry that God calls you to. If God calls you to reach out and to preach the gospel, to teach others, Maybe your family members may not always understand those things, but they don't always have to. But Jesus knew what he was here to accomplish and to do. The second thing is we see in our text is that Jesus was ultimately falsely accused. And we've seen this throughout the Gospels that tell the story of Jesus' life, that he was always falsely accused by the religious leaders. Look at what they accuse him of. Beginning with at verse 22, it says, "And the scribes came down from Jerusalem and were saying that he is possessed by Beelzebub." In other words, that Jesus is possessed by the devil himself. Now, Mark does not give us the account of what took place to actually create this discussion. Matthew and Luke does. Jesus had healed a man from demonic influence, and he had also healed his blindness. And all of a sudden, it stirred up the scribes again. They didn't believe that Jesus should have been doing these things. And it says that they came down to share their opinion about these things and said that he was possessed by Beelzebub. And it was by the prince of demons, Satan, right, that he was able to cast out demons. But Jesus does, and he responds by simply setting the record straight. And he sets the record straight on two accounts. One, he wants to make sure that everyone understands that he is not influenced or possessed by Satan or by the devil. In fact, Jesus came into the world to establish the kingdom of God. And this is what Jesus says. He says, "How can Satan cast out Satan?" Now, these men are supposed to be wise and well taught in the scriptures. They should already know this. But Jesus, in his sovereignty, is calling them out. And he says to them, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, understand this, that kingdom will not be able to stand." In other words, Jesus is saying, if I were here working on behalf of the kingdom of darkness or influenced by Satan, then ultimately Satan would be casting himself out, creating division and tearing down his own kingdom. But Jesus wants them to understand clearly that he is here to establish the kingdom of God. Verse 25, he says, "And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not stand." But you know what? Let me just stop here for a minute, my brothers and sisters. This is true of anything. Within a church body of believers, if there is division, and that division continues to move on and to go on and get worse and worse and worse, guess what? That body will fall apart. In our homes, if there is division continuously over and over, eventually that home will what? Will fall apart. It reigns true for anything. But Jesus reminds these leaders who are accusing him of working for the kingdom of darkness. And he says in verse 26, "And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one," watch this, "no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods." I believe that Jesus is referring to the fact that all that Satan has caused and created within our world, sin and darkness and division, the fact that Satan has a stronghold on all of humanity, Jesus is saying in order for anyone to overcome those things, they must be greater than that. They must be stronger than him. And Jesus is saying the proof that you have watched and seen that I have delivered people from demonic oppression, the fact that I have delivered them and overcome them, should tell you who I am. That I am God's only begotten Son, that I have come to establish his kingdom. And he says, look, he first binds the strong man, which is what Jesus does. Remember, Jesus went through the wilderness. Remember, he overcame the temptations of the enemy. He says, listen, he must first bind the strong man. Then indeed he is able to plunder his house. Jesus said, I am coming back and I am coming in to this world to take what is rightfully and belongs to God Almighty. And guess who that is, my brothers and sisters? That's us. We belong to God. But when Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they refused to obey God, when they decided to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, when they chose to say that we want to be God of our own life, when they allowed Satan to come in and literally when they handed the authority that God had given to them over, that's what Satan was able to look at Jesus, even in his wilderness, and say, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. And some of us may say, well, how could he give them the kingdoms if the kingdoms didn't belong to him? But remember, those things were handed over to him. And now Jesus has returned to get all of that stuff back because it does not belong to him. It belongs to our great and almighty God. He says, truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven, the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, in other words, if you're calling what Jesus is doing, the miracles that they are seeing, if you're saying that that is the work of the devil, you're in big trouble. He's saying if you're blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, which is considered by many, listen, the unpardonable sin. And what do we mean by that? Well, what that means is simple and plain. Jesus has extended grace to all of humanity. It's the only provision for us to be rescued from sin and shame and death. If you refuse to receive that, then there's no hope. God has done his part by extending grace to all of humanity. It is up to us to receive that grace. Jesus is the cure for the disease of sin in our world today. If we refuse to receive that cure, we'll never be healed. And so he says, listen, who does that work? The Holy Spirit of God. How was Jesus able to perform miracles? By the Spirit of God living and dwelling within him. He was able to do those things. How was he able to know what people were thinking because of who he is? God Almighty in flesh. And he reminds them, listen, if you continue to reject the only provision that God has provided for humanity, then you are lost. You are lost. So Jesus sets the record straight of the fact that he is here on behalf of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of darkness. But he also sets the record straight of those who would be, as they're determined of who his family is. You see, for those of us who have put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, guess what? We are part of the family of God. Look at what happens in verse 31. His mother, because remember, they're coming from Nazareth to get Jesus, because they feel like he's got to get away from everything. He's got to get rest. And maybe if he can get his head together, he won't be losing his mind, caught up in ministry, caught up in his call that God has called him to. And they've come all the way from Nazareth, and now they've come to Capernaum, and now they're standing at the doorstep. They haven't entered in. Instead, they've sent someone in to the house to tell Jesus, we're out here waiting to take you home with us. And listen to what Jesus' response is. Jesus didn't get up and say, oh, I'm sorry, y'all. I got to go. You know what Jesus says? You know what his response is? He sits there. And this is what he says. As his mother and his brothers came, standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And the crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them and said, who are my mother and my brothers? Off the top of our head, my brothers and sisters, that's almost a weird question. But you got to understand, Jesus' mindset was set on eternity. He came here for a specific plan and purpose. He says, and looking about those who sat around him, he said to them, Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, my sister, and my mother. There's another place in Scripture where Jesus says, listen, if you're choosing to follow me, you must love me above anything and everything. And the love that we must have for Jesus in comparison to our family almost seems that we hate our family. And I know you may be looking at me strangely when I say that, but that's the truth. We shouldn't love anyone more than we love God. Because you can choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and all of a sudden it'll wreak havoc in your family. Your wife don't want to have anything to do with you because you're choosing to follow Jesus Christ. Maybe your husband doesn't want to have anything to do with you because now you are a follower of the way of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Maybe there's division that is created between you and your children because you are choosing to follow Jesus Christ. Or maybe now your parents don't feel the same about you because you have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. That's how it goes sometimes. But we must choose who we will follow. That is Jesus Christ. Now, what Jesus ultimately does when we give and surrender our life to him is he teaches us what it's like to truly love people, even when there's a sense of hatred in our lives, when they don't agree with us, when they don't like us, when they want to be separated. We still have a responsibility through Christ to love them like they've never been loved before, to share the great message of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with everyone we know. That's what we are called to do, my brothers and sisters. God's plan hasn't changed for us. He has called us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus came and set the record straight. Listen, he is all about the kingdom of God. And guess who else should be all about the kingdom of God? And people are going to think that you're fanatic. His family did. Paul was preaching to Festus in the book of Acts, and Festus said, "You have lost your mind." Paul writes to the church of Corinth, and he tells him, he said, listen, if we seem like we're a little out of our mind, like we're crazy, it's all for you. If we seem like everything is okay, guess what? It's all for you. It doesn't matter. Yes, we may seem crazy to folks sometimes. That's all right. But I'd rather seem crazy to people knowing that I am fulfilling and doing what God has called me to do than more than anything else in my life. That's just how it is. The question is for us, are we willing to take that risk? Does it matter what people think about us? Truly, does it? What matters the most is when we stand before our great and mighty God. Did we serve him as he had called us to serve him? Did we, through our lives, give him all the glory and the honor and the praise? Did we worship him by the way in which we lived our lives? That, my brothers and sisters, is what matters the most. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise and bless his name. If you all stand to your feet for a moment, I want to take the time to do something real quick. I'm going to put my mask on. Nadine, will you come here, please? Will you come forward? Now, a few weeks ago, we took a time together as a family. Yeah, Christine, yeah. Now, you're fine. You're fine. To have prayer for our brother, Todd. And many of you know that Todd is he's at Gloucester House still, correct? And he's having a rough time. So I'm going to ask that you all continue to pray for him, to lift him up in prayer. But this is a tough situation, not just for Todd. It is a tough situation for his family. Okay. And so I want to take the time, if you're okay. All right. She didn't know I was going to do this, so I'm sorry. Because I don't like to be called out, you know. But I just want to pray for you. Amen. And it's his birthday. And the impact that Todd has had on the lives of many of us who are here, teaching ministries and things of that nature, has been tremendous. And has certainly set a fine example for all of us. And I want all of us together to take the time to pray, okay, for Nadine and Christine and the rest of the family as well. Can we do that? Okay.
And you know Todd loves everybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He loves his church. He wants to be here. He loves teaching Bible study. He's very good at it.
He is.
He loves the Lord with all his heart. And I know he has God with him. He tells me that all the time. So I know he'll be okay with God's got him.
Amen. Amen. Gracious and eternal God, we all come before your gracious and merciful throne today. We come, Father, lifting up our brother Todd. We thank you, Lord, that he's able to celebrate another year, his birthday today. And so we also come, Lord, because we know that this time is also quite difficult for Nadine and her family as well. And they have done continuously all that they have strived to do to be able to care for him, to be there for him, to be supportive of him. And we see it. They're great witnesses of your love and your compassion. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are their family as well. So we lift them up to you right now in Jesus' name, that you will grant them comfort and peace and strength, guidance and wisdom through it all, that you will draw them close to you by the cords of your love and remind them, Father, that they are loved, and that you are aware of every aspect of their situation, Lord God. May you continue, dear Lord, to allow all of this to be a testimony of your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you for healing. We thank you for your love and your compassion. And we thank you above all for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the witness of this wonderful family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You're very welcome. Amen. You're very welcome. God bless you. Yeah. God bless you. You're welcome. Thank you all so much for praying together. Father, we are so thankful today, and I pray for those who are here who may not know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, may you create within us all a sense of urgency to share the great message of the gospel. And like the Apostle Paul wrote, never to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Lord, we thank you, and we give you honor and praise and glory. If you are here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a wonderful opportunity to do so today. You may be watching and listening in with us today, and maybe you've made that decision for Christ. We want to make sure that we are praying for you and lifting you up in our prayers. You can contact us, wwmbcva1@gmail.com. And if you're seeking and looking for a church home, we'd love to have you. And we know that the White Marsh Baptist Church is a great place to begin that journey. And we want to be a part of what God is doing in your life as well. So please reach out to us and let us know. Send us your contact information, and we will reach out to you and keep you lifted up in our prayers as well. Amen. Yes. Good morning.
I'd be honored if White Marsh Baptist Church would have me as a member. I have felt blessing over blessing since I came through those doors with Nancy and Aunt Margaret.
Amen.
And I just want to thank you all for your grace and your mercy and your kindness.
Praise God.
It's a beautiful place, and I have been in prayer looking for a place to plant my feet again, and I would be honored to be a part of this beautiful place.
Well, Cindy, we would love to have you. Amen.
Thank you.
So if you all don't know, this is Cindy Hudgens. And she has been coming along and joining us East Sunday, I'm gonna step back.
Oh, sure, sure.
Because I can hear myself a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she's come along and each week along with us to fellowship with us. And as she said, she's been moved to join and become a part of White Marsh Baptist Church. Amen. So we're excited that you have made that decision. This is a Baptist tradition, and we vote about just about everything. So I would like to motion that Cindy Hudgens become a member of White Marsh Baptist Church. Now, you've been baptized before?
Yes.
Okay. So by way of Christian experience, please receive a second.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and probably second that you, Cindy Hudgens, become a member of White Marsh Baptist Church. Amen. Well, we have not done. Those who are in favor respond by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. Those who oppose, they try to kick people out.
Oh, I would kick them too.
But you never have a problem. So we are very glad that you have chosen White Marsh as your church home. And of course, emails and things of nature. Of course, a lot of things because of what's going on in our world today. We do offer the services, and
yes,
about some of this Bible studies. There's a women's group and things of nature as well. And so we are very, very blessed here to be able to offer those resources to be able to help us to grow in our relationship and our walk with God. And we want to encourage you to do that as much as we possibly can. And we definitely are keeping you in our prayers. We've been praying for you as well.
Thank you.
And also, just feel free to ask. You're already part of the congregation and part of me. And you are a child of God already. So
yes, amen.
And that's what matters the most. Mm. Amen?
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm
really excited.
Good.
Thank
to God
you.
Be glory. Absolutely.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Anyone else? We got a few hours left in a day. Come on. I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. Father, we thank you for all that has taken place. We thank you.